Luke chapter 19. That's St. Luke chapter number 19. And I will show you something here in the Bible. Luke chapter 19 this evening. While you're turning there, don't forget now, Sunday school Sunday morning, be here, bring somebody with you, and let's get in here. Be in our place for Sunday school Sunday. God will bless you for it. Luke chapter 19. Now I'm going to show you a verse of Scripture that ever since the first time I saw it, I've never looked at it since. I don't think that it didn't touch a little something in my heart. Luke chapter 19, and it said this, verse 29. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied. That means the Lord already knows where stuff is. He knows where that colt was tied. He knows where every animal is. He knew where that fish that swallowed Jonah was. The whale. They said the whale ain't a fish. Well, they just don't know what they're talking about. He told that fish, a great fish. They changed the meaning of them words every few hundred years and get people confused. But the Lord told that thing what to do. He knew this colt was there. He knows where your dog is right now. He knows where your cat is right now. The sparrows, the Bible said. The sparrows, he feeds them. Isn't that amazing? He knows the hairs on your head and numbers them. My girls, I'll read this in a minute. My girls, you know, I have three blonde-headed girls, and I had two sisters growing up. So I know what it's like to go in the bathroom and see a hairbrush there with thousands of blonde hairs wrapped around it. And every once in a while, you just have to grab them and pull them out. So there'd be wads of it in the swimming pool. God knows the number of every one of them. If you have blonde hair, you have something like 120,000 hairs on your head. And if you have 120,000 hairs on your head and one falls out when you do like this, the Lord says that's 119,999. He knows exactly. Isn't that something? Now, if God knows all of that, knows where all the animals are, don't you doubt that He knows your situation too. He knows what you're going through. He knows your burdens. He knows your problems, to which we all ought to say, glory, hallelujah. I'm glad I got a Father that's watching over me. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. You know, we talk about the Lord knowing all our sins, and He does. I wish He didn't, but He does. But the good side of that is, He knows all of our burdens, and He knows all of our problems, and He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. And He knows what breaks your heart. And He knows why you're sad. And He knows why you're hurting. And He knows why you're brokenhearted. God knows all that. So praise the Lord for that. Somebody, I saw a bumper sticker one day said, God knows all the hairs on your head. And then it had parentheses, and your wig too. He knows the hairs on your wig, man. He knows them all. So let's look at that. Verse 30. Whereon never man set, loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. That struck me. That verse of Scripture. The Lord hath need of him. Think about that. Here's God, the Lord, and He needs this little colt, little donkey. He needs him. You always say, the Lord don't need nothing. Bible said that He did. Bible said the Lord had need of that little donkey. Now, I want us to study a little bit for a few minutes tonight on that thought. The Lord needs you. You know, that almost sounds blasphemous, don't it? Because God, technically, He's God. He has no needs. But the Bible said He's put Himself in a position that He needs us. God needs you. Do you know that? I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was trying to get them to come to church. They're backslid. Used to come to church all the time. And I said, man, you need to come to church Sunday. And you know what I told this lady? I said, you need us, and we need you. The church needs you, and you need the church. Right. Ain't that right? The church needs you. You say, the church don't need me. We do need you.
And I'll tell you something else. You need us.
Amen.
We got something you need and you got something we need. We need each other. You need the church and the church needs you. And the Bible says, don't shout too loud on me there, sister. The Bible says that the Lord hath need of him. The Lord hath need of him. Amen. The Lord hath need of him. You think about the Lord needing you. Now I don't have everybody here tonight what your situation is, but I want to tell you something. The Lord needs you. The Lord needs you, and Shining Light Baptist Church needs you. I've had a lot of women tell me through the years, hardly no men, but I've had a lot of women say, I just want to feel needed. A lot of women say, something inside of them. They want to feel like they're needed. I mean, I'm telling you, I just don't feel like I'm needed. I don't feel like my husband needs me, my kids need me, I'm just going to kill myself. They want to feel needed. But I'm going to tell you something. Thank God you are needed. You are needed. The Lord needs you. Do you know the Lord needs you? You say, Brother Danny, He don't need me, He's God. According to the Bible, He needed that little donkey. He needed him. So, how would the Lord need us? I want to say, first, the Lord needs us to bring other people to Him. Did you know God has fixed it so in this world He has no feet but our feet. He has no hands but our hands. He has no voice but our voice. He has no eyes but our eyes. God has put Himself in heaven and He's there. He's completely invisible to this world. But He has us as a mouthpiece, as a handpiece, as steps. God has us. So the Lord needs you. Did you know the Lord needs you to bring other people? Did you know, as a matter of fact, the first desire that a man has, or a woman, or boy, or girl, when they get saved, is to bring somebody else to the Lord. That's the first desire. One of the ways you know you got saved is you immediately want everybody else to get saved. The night I got saved on that night at Nebo Baptist Church, I went out to the store the next evening, sitting here on drink carton at the front of the store up there in Nebo. My best friend drove up in a Volkswagen. He got out of the car. He said, hey, boys, let's go play ball. I said, can't. He said, why not? I said, we're going to church tonight. He said, what? I said, I got saved last night. You know what? The first thing I've done when I got saved, I wanted to bring him. He came that night and got saved. I wish it was that easy now. But if you first got saved and you got influence on them, you better get them now, because The longer you're saved, the more the devil will drive a wedge in between you. Well, they don't want to talk to you. But you know what? The best soul winners are people that just got right with God. And because it's fresh. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people got saved. No other group's going to get them. One man told me, I tried to get the man to do something one time, and he said, people's going to get saved anyway. I said, no, they're not. No, they're not. I believe this. If you disagree, show me in the Bible where I'm wrong. I believe that there will be people who will miss heaven if we don't do our job that God's given us to do. I believe there will be people who go to hell if we don't reach them. You say, well, that puts a lot on us. It sure does. It sure does. One man told me, he said, God will save them anyway. I said, well, let's just all sit down then. Let God save them. I preached revival one time and had 11 people got saved. And I talked to a deacon in a church. He'd been one of my former deacons. And he said, well, I don't believe you should have even went down there and preached. And I said, well, I bet them 11 people don't believe that. And he said, they'd have got saved anyway. I said, that proves right there why you never go on visitation. If you believe they're going to get saved anyway, why fast? Why have a revival? Why am I driving to Maryland tomorrow? I ain't wanting to go sightseeing. First few times I went up there, I went to the Capitol and I seen Washington, D.C. and everything. It's the anniversary of 9/11 and all that. But I wouldn't drive from here to there just to see the Capitol building. I wouldn't drive from here to there to see the Washington Monument. Lord have mercy. I'm going because I believe that I've got a responsibility and the Lord has need of me. The Lord needs me to go do that. You say, well, that makes you... No, I have nothing. But if God needs me, I won't do it. Listen, God needs you. God needs you. God needs some of you folks in the bus ministry to go visit and stuff. He needs you. He needs you. What if this? What if you came Saturday and went out on bus route and we split this route up and you went and you knocked on a door and this little kid came and this little kid came to the door and you hug its neck and say, "Hey, honey, I'd love for you to come to church tomorrow." And then that little kid came. I heard about a story yesterday of that happening where, let's see, how did that story go? I just heard it yesterday. They said something about this, who was it? Some preacher telling me this story yesterday. It was something like a girl and her husband coming to church and got saved. And come to church and got saved and started doing real good. And they started talking to this preacher. And they said, "You know how come we come and got saved?" He said, "No." They said, "Because when I was 10 years old, that girl was 10 years old, that preacher come and took them some groceries or done something for them and took them to the doctor or something like that when they didn't have no way to go. And that little girl remembered that. 10 years old. And that girl come and got saved at his church." And I'm going to tell you something. Stuff like that makes a difference in people's lives. Talk to somebody at the gas station. Talk to somebody at the store. I heard about it. Oh, R.A. Torrey. R.A. Torrey was a great Christian, great soul winner. And R.A. Torrey said he's in a restaurant one night, and he's sitting in this restaurant, and he said, his heart was pounding. He said, like the Lord said, "Witness that waiter. Witness that waiter." And he said, "I didn't." And he said, the Lord spoke to his heart. He come to fill up his tea. He said, Lord said, "Witness to him. Witness to him." He said, "Well, Lord, you know how you take up excuses. Lord, he's busy, and God, he's at work, and God, I don't want to bother him. He's busy doing his work." And he kept on saying, giving excuses why he shouldn't witness to him. And he said they paid the bill. And when he paid the bill, it was like the Lord said, "You need to talk to that guy. You need to talk to that guy." And he didn't. He said, "I don't want to bother him. The man's working." And he said it got to bothering him so bad, he said, "I'll come back at the end of the shift." And he come back that night and asked the man, said, "Where's that man?" He said, "You haven't heard what happened here this evening?" He said, "That waiter went in that restroom and took a gun and blew his brains out. He is having family problems and I killed him, died and went to hell." And R.A. Torrey said, "I had to live with that the rest of my life." He said, "I knew God wanted me to witness that man." He said, "I don't believe that." Well, you can believe whatever you want to. But I don't believe the doctrine that says all we got to do is sit around and don't do nothing and God will save them when He gets good and ready. Listen, God is good and ready. He is good and ready. Amen? I want to preach on something. A lot of Baptists preach, but I don't want to mess this up tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. God wants everybody to get saved. And God wants everybody to get saved today. One man said, "Well, I don't believe it's my time to get saved." That's blasphemy. You mean tell me God wants you to live in sin a little while longer? No, He don't. God wants everybody in the world to get saved today, according to the Word of God. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Amen? I heard a preacher on radio the other day. He said he evidently had a small church, and he said, "Well," he said, "I'm going to quit going out trying to get people." He said, "I've got some of them in here, and it didn't work out." He said, "I just want the one God wants in here." He said, "If I go get them," he said, "it ain't no good. But if God sends them in here, it's good." And he said, "I believe God's sending us just who He wants." And I'm thinking, you mean tell me that's all God wants? I've heard preachers get up and say, "Well, ain't many of us here tonight, but I believe it's just who God wants here." I don't know about that. That ain't. You mean tell me God don't want nobody else here tonight? I don't believe that. I don't believe it. What if we had a big Holy Ghost service and the Lord fell and the power of God come and you go out and see somebody and say, "Man, we had the office service ever was last night." And they'd have said, "God, really? I wish I'd have been there." Nope. God didn't want you there. That's blasphemy, people. That ain't right. I mean, that makes good Baptist doc. I mean, them Baptist preachers pull that off all the time and it sounds all spiritual and all that. But that ain't right. It ain't right to say God don't want nobody else here. Are y'all listening to me? Talk back to me a little bit. I mean, you know, we've all heard that preacher say, "Well, there's not many of us here, but I believe it's just who God wanted." You know who God wants? He wants every church in Burke County packed full tonight and build 100 more and pack them full. That's what God wants. Say amen right there. The Lord hath need of you. It's not only wicked for us not to go try to reach somebody. It's doubly wicked to blame it on the Lord.
Yeah.
And say, He don't want them in here. Who in the Sam Hill, Greek word, do we think we are? I mean, who do we think we are that we're so special that God wants us here but it don't want nobody else here? I understand where that comes from. I understand Jesus took the 12 and went up on the mountain and stuff like that. And I understand all that. That ain't a regular church service, though. That ain't a church. You can't tell me that God wants a church. I've had a bunch of people tell me they won't come to our church. They said, I just like a little church. One man told me that. He said, I just like a little church. I don't like a big church. And I said, well, you want it to stay little? He said, well, no. So you want it to grow? Yeah. So you're going to leave when it gets big? People's crazy. People just run their mouth. People just spout off the top of their head because they heard somebody say something and it sounded good. I'll go ahead and say something. This is stir up a stink. Maybe you can straighten me out on this, Bible scholars. I've heard people say, I heard a preacher on the radio, they say it all the time. Bless God, you can't get saved anytime you want to. You show me that in the Bible. And I'll eat that pulpit right there. Amen. Now, I know what they mean, that you've got to be under conviction. I understand that. But you can't want to get saved unless you're not under some kind of conviction. That's the only way you can. So you can get saved anytime you want to. You just don't want to unless you're under conviction. Am I right, Brother Derry? Don't that make sense? What they're saying is, man, I've heard them say, you can sit there and bawl your eyes out, cry and beg God to save you and everything, but if He ain't dealing with you, are you trying to tell me that God's sitting up there saying in heaven saying, no, I ain't dealing with you. Go ahead and live in sin. I don't want you to get it. I'm mad at you for not getting saved that other time. That's crazy. That's crazy, people. Listen, how long are we going to be backslidden and blame our backsliddenness on God? There's a new word, ain't it? I like that one. That's a Greek word, too. Brother, there ain't no excuse. No excuse for us. And I'm talking about me and all of us. I'm talking about Brother Danny and all of us. You know what we can do? Any of you men that want to meet me out here, I'll be gone this Saturday, next Saturday. We'll take off from right here in this parking lot and knock on every door on Palmdale Avenue. There's 8 or 10 houses down through there. You know how much gas you use doing that? A dollar's worth, maybe. A dollar. I'm going to tell you something, people. The Lord wants you. The Lord wants you. Anybody want to say something? I've stirred up all kind of stuff tonight. I'm going to preach a sermon one of these days, as if I didn't need no more controversy, on things that Baptists believe that ain't in the Bible. And there's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And I mean talking about independent, fundamental, King James, Bible-thumping, fanatical, crazy, overboard nuts that they believe that are not in the Bible. And that what I just got through saying is one of them.
Yeah.
Amen? Stuff like the Old Testament looked forward to the cross, the New Testament looks back to the cross. Stuff like that. That ain't in the Bible. They didn't know there was even going to be a cross in the Old Testament. They didn't know there was going to be such a thing. Isaiah saw him dying, but they don't know any mention of no cross. Give y'all something to think about. Anyway, somebody want to say something?
I heard a preacher say another thing that holy
place, man, was shaped like a cross. Well, that's true. There are pictures of the cross in the Old Testament. Don't get me wrong. Even the blood on the doorpost is on the lintels and on the side like that. That's a picture of the cross. But they didn't know Jesus was going to die on the cross. To my knowledge, nobody in the Old Testament knew that Jesus was going to die on the cross. So if I'm wrong, somebody show me. You what now? Yeah, I've heard that too. I've heard that. Let me ask y'all something. The Lord needs you, y'all. The Lord needs you. The Lord needs you. Everybody here, the Lord needs you. I tell these girls all the time, you know who some of the best bus workers in the world are? Is girls, teenage girls. Think of it. You don't have no kids. You don't have a lot of responsibility. Some of them don't have a husband, a family. You're free on Saturdays. You got personality. Kids warm up to you. I mean, good night. Look at some of these characters. I mean, look, John back there. And Big Andy and Big Ray and people that go out on bus rides. Would you let your kids go anywhere with them? No. But you teenage girls, kids just warm up to you. Just like that. And you can do a great work. You can do a great work if you just realize the Lord needs you. The Lord needs you. The Lord needs you to bring other people to Him. Amen? Now you say, well, Brother Danny, one lady told me one time up in Marion, she said, well, I went visiting and somebody smarted off. I'm not going back. I mean, they say that an insurance salesman has to go to 45 houses to sell one insurance policy. And he ain't got the devil fighting him. An insurance salesman, on average, goes to 45 houses to get one person to buy insurance. I'll guarantee you, if you went and seen 45 people Saturday, you could get one to come to church. The Lord hath need of you. The Lord hath need of you. Anybody want to say something? We're asking something right quick. Okay? All right, let me give you another one. The Lord needs you as a worker. As a worker. There's three types of workers in every church. There's some that never do anything. There's some that do it for a while and then quit. And then there's others that just stay right on and on and on and on and on and on. Amen? And just pray and pray and never, ever, ever give up. Never. Sometimes I think about it and I stay under conviction all the time. Sometimes I think that we're like sitting here and the man that lives next door, his house is on fire. And we're sitting here reading on the paper and saying, boy, that's awful, isn't it? We're sitting here and these kids are screaming out the window and their mama's screaming up there. And we're saying, well, them people got themselves in a mess. Sure, I'm glad I ain't in a mess like that. And we're, you know, it's like firemen. We're like firemen sitting at the fire department reading books on how to fight fire and watching videos on how to fight fire. And the whole town's burning down and we ain't doing nothing about it. Did you know that the average church in this county does little or nothing to reach the community and criticize them that do? I'm telling you tonight, folks, the Lord needs us to be a worker in the church. We need to work. We need to work. You need to work. Everybody needs to work in the church. I'm getting ready to have a bus banquet here in a few weeks for all those that are in the bus ministry. On the last Saturday night in September, Lord willing, we're going to have a little bus banquet for bus workers and get fired up for the fall program. And I talked to Karen about cooking, and she's willing to do it. Karen Clark, always, and she's going to ask some of the other ladies to help cook. We just need people to say, you know what? I can fix a cake, and I can bring it. I can do this. I can do far. Like Miss Tammy, she fixes them cupcakes all the time and bring them. People bring stuff. People do. Everybody works. Everybody does something. The Lord hath need of you. If you work 6 days a week, somebody's got to pay the bills. That means you give the money in the offering plate to keep the buses, to buy the cupcake stuff, to help the bus workers to go. See, if the Lord hath need of you, don't you ever feel like you're not needed. Never, ever, ever. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'm just not really involved in the church and everything. But listen, if you can come and just sing a song and pray a prayer and give your tithes and pray and support, then the Lord hath need of you. The Lord doesn't need that. Everybody can't go. Everybody can't be a missionary. Everybody can't be a preacher. Everybody can't play the piano. But everybody has something that you can do. Work. You know, to work at things you love or for those you love is to turn work into fun and duty to privilege. What does that mean? That means if you really love what you're doing, it ain't really work. If you're doing something for the Lord. Camp meeting's coming up. Ladies will be fixing those meals back there. Now, you can do it one of two ways. I've been back there, Miss Sue and all y'all, Lorraine, all them cleaning, wiping tables and everything. You can do it one of two ways, ladies. You can get back there and say, why did I get stuck with this? Look, why can't these people clean up after themselves? Good night. You can do it like that and sweat and be miserable and not get no reward in heaven. Or you can say, You know what? A man of God sat here, and he may be going through trouble at his church, and if we can just encourage him or give him another glass of tea or make his day better, glory to God, I'm doing this for you, Jesus, and turn it into fun. It's like my job. Sometimes my job feels a lot like work, but the other time, if I'm doing it because I love the Lord and love you, it's hard, but it's fun. You can make it fun, or you can make yourself miserable. The Lord, the person who does what they're doing for people they love. If you cook dinner for your family because you love them, it's not really that bad. If you're in there and you hate everything and everybody, and I hate them, then it's more work. But if you're doing it because you love your family, it's not as bad. Somebody said this, it's better to wear out than to rust out. I believe that. Somebody said, a willing heart lightens your work. I believe that. Somebody said, blessed are they that go round and round, for they shall become big wheels. Amen. One fellow said this, he said, my church is 100% willing. He said, 5% willing to do the work, 95% willing to let them. That's true. That's a truth in most churches. Amen. Benjamin Franklin said, work like you're going to live to be 100 and live like you're going to die tomorrow. The Lord needs you to be a worker. Now we're going to have to hurry. You don't work. Work is about 95% perspiration and 5% inspiration. Sometimes we're inspired. That's great. But you go when you're not inspired. I've seen revivals come, and boy, everybody wants to do something. Everybody wants to go give out tracts. That's good. But you do it. You don't do it just because you get inspired, because that inspiration wires off. You do it because you're obligated. Not inspiration, obligation. You're obligated. And then it don't matter if you're inspired or not. You do it anyway. That's the secret of the Christian life. You know what Jack Hiles said the secret of the Christian life is? He said the secret of the Christian life is when you go ahead and do what you're supposed to do, even when you don't want to. You're just beginning to be a mature Christian. When you do it, when it ain't fun, and you'd rather do something else, and you're too tired, and you do it anyway, then you learn to be a good Christian. Y'all awful quiet tonight. Do you want to say something? Maybe you're under conviction. I don't know. Start off right now. All right, one more thing. The Lord wants you to be a star in His crown. Do you know that? The Lord wants you to be a star in His crown. Amen? You can do all kinds of things for people. Grab you some tracks. Grab them back there. And you take them tracks, and you take them to work, and you say, well, I'll get in trouble if I... You don't have to be obvious with it. Just slip one here, slip one there. At school, you can't just go down the hall giving out tracks, but you can discreetly, just sort of lay one down here, pull one out and say, hey, would you like to read this? You ain't going to get in trouble for that. Now, if you go putting them in everybody's lockers or out in the park, then somebody's going to say something to you. But use your head. And try to be a witness for the Lord. The Lord hath need of you. Did you know there's preachers that are preaching the gospel right now and got saved just because somebody invited them to a church or revival? And they got saved, John. The Lord needs you. Camp meeting's coming up. The Lord needs you. Everybody ain't got what we've got. There's people out there all kinds of messed up, buddy. We got a place in Marion hiring right now. If anybody's looking for a job, called Rock 10. And they took over the old Clinchfield place up there where my daddy used to work. And it's called Rock 10. They make cardboard and stuff. And they said they'd been people turned out by the 100 wanting a job. And you know what I was told yesterday? They said the reason we can't hire them is because nobody passed a drug test. They said just about every one of them fails a drug test. And the average person out here that can't get a job couldn't get a job if they hired them because they're on pills. Don't tell me that the Lord don't need us. I have never, ever seen it like we're seeing it today. Everybody you talk to, I've got a friend of mine in another state. He's a good man. He loved God with all his heart. Preached the paint off these walls. Godly man. He hurt his back real bad. And he said he had surgery. He said it hurt so bad he couldn't sleep, couldn't walk, couldn't move. He had surgery. The doctor gave him Oxycontin. He started taking them things. He got addicted to them. He called me. He said, "Brother Danny," he said, "I've lost everything I've got. Lost my church. Lost my ministry." He said to people in church, he said, "I'm a drug addict. I'm a drug addict." And that boy never went out and partied. He never drank. He never done nothing. He said, "I am a drug addict." He said, "I'm hooked." And I said, "Oh, man, I'm sorry." So he got off of them. And then he got back on them. And I'm going to tell y'all something. You better not take them pills. I mean, if you have, I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling you to throw your medicine away. Don't blame it on me or something. If you die. But I'm telling you, you better watch that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy for me to say, I ain't got a pain in my body right now. If I was hurting bad enough, I'm liable to take anything. But you better leave that stuff alone, that stuff like all that stuff you get addicted to. Take something else. Surely the Lord, they got something else that can help you. Please don't take me wrong. I mean, if you're sick and you got pains, I'm not fussing at you. But that fellow lost everything he got because of it. The Lord hath need of us. The Lord hath need of us. There's a work to do. You work with people that the Lord needs you to talk to them. Y'all go to school with kids. The Lord needs you to talk to them. One of our girls told me the other day, 13 or 14 year old girl. She said, "My friend at school's a lesbian." And I said, "Your friend at school's a lesbian? You're 13? She said, "Yeah." I said, "How do you know?" She said, "Well, everybody knows it." She told her last girlfriend, 13 years old. 13, brother. The Lord hath need of our kids in the school system. All right. I'm going to stop right there. Miss Desi, I want you to come. And I want you to play something. I'm sorry I didn't preach tonight. I just want to give you this thought on my heart. The Lord needs you. The Lord needs you. I'm not asking you tonight to do something the Lord don't want you to. I wouldn't. She's playing. Let's bow our head. I'm asking you to do what He wants you to do. What would you think the Lord wants you to do? Well, you know He wants you to go to church. You know He wants you to pray. You know He wants you to read your Bible. You know He wants you to witness. You know He wants you to give your offering. You know He wants you to be a soul. You know all this stuff. You know all this stuff. He said, "I wish God would show me His will for my life. I just told you His will for your life. He wants you to do something special. He'll tell you that. He wants you to go to Mexico. He'll tell you. He wants you to go to China. He'll tell you. I'll tell you what He's already told you. Tell your neighbor. Tell your friend that you work with. Pray that God will fill you with His Spirit. Give you the words to talk to that person you live beside and work beside. And give them the gospel. Let's everybody here make up our mind. We're going to give somebody the gospel. Pray for me. I'm driving all day tomorrow. I'll be stopping at the store to get gas. I'll be stopping to get me something to eat somewhere. Pray for me that God will give me the witness to tell people. That, listen, Obama can't save us. The government ain't going to save us. The world's going down, brother. We've got the gospel. The Lord hath need of us. Let's pray that. So others need to come. If you need to come to the altar, you come on right now. Amen. Let's spend a little while in prayer tonight. There's enough of us right here. There's enough of us right here to say, "Brother Danny, the Lord hath need of me. Bless the Lord, I'll get involved." Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this little study we had tonight, Lord. Like You needed that little colt, Lord, I know You need us. Lord, we're nothing, but God, we do want to yield ourselves to You. Lord, that we can be used of God. Have Your way in our hearts. Lord Jesus, have Your way in our hearts, Lord. God, do what ought to be done. Save lost souls. Change lives. Lord, use us to reach somebody. Let me reach somebody. Let me win somebody to You. Lord, let them lead me to them. Help me to have the right words to say. All these people from India, Muslims and stuff, run these gas stations and stuff. God, help us to have a burden for them. They're going to die without You. Lord, help us. Give us a burden for them. Lord, all of our bus kids and all those bus parents and all them. Oh, God, break our heart for those bus kids. God, don't let us not care about them. Lord, don't help us not just to nonchalantly just brush them aside. God, break our heart for our bus kids and our bus kids' parents, Lord. God, help us to fast But them parents are coming to get saved. Those brothers and sisters are coming to get saved. God, do a work in our church. Lord, bless them here Sunday morning. May the Holy Ghost fall. Save lost souls. Touch hearts. Oh, God, we pray. Drive the demonic forces, the powers of hell out of here. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus on everybody here tonight, on all our young people, all our bus workers, all our Sunday school teachers. I pray the power of God will come down, do a mighty work. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, amen. 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 All right. You know, I was praying for those bus kids there a minute ago, and I gave that illustration last week about if one person calls me from the radio broadcast. The man at the radio station said, Danny, if one person calls you or visits you, there's 600 just like them out there somewhere that you never hear from. And so I thought about these kids that are being abused. For every kid we hear about getting beat or molested, there's probably 500 that you never hear about. Just two of our bus kids last week got took out of the home and placed in a foster home. Last week, come on bus ride every second half for years. Grandpa molesting the kid. And probably they'll never get to come back to church unless we look up and get them out of a foster home. I mean, that's how them kids that you see walk in that door. Let's ask God to give us a burden for them. Amen. Anybody want to say something or ask a question? Well, I tell you what, let's do, y'all. Come out and go visit Saturday morning. I won't be here, but we'll have a good group going out. We had probably about 15 last Saturday. And pray God just bless. His will be done. And let's just ask the Lord to give us a big day Sunday. Come praying. Bring somebody with you church Sunday morning. Lord bless you. Let's stand. Amen.